मो थासा भगवातो अरहातो सम्मा संबुद्धसा नमो थासा भगवातो अरहातो सम्मा संबुद्धसा नमो थासा भगवातो अरहातो सम्मा संबुद्धसा Retreat series, Dhamma Talk number 23. Observing in general five precepts or 10 producing, 10 suffering producing Dhamma. If you observed, it is heedful. If you break and if you lose, observing it is heedless. That is the fundamental or the gross level of heedfulness or heedlessness. And secondly, if one is restrained, if one put effort to restrain on the five senses, and that is being heedful. And if you don't, if you give a free hand to the senses, five senses, then it is heedless. That's the mid-level or medium level of heedfulness or heedlessness. If one can't have these two, okay, the basic level and the medium level of heedfulness, with consistency, then that person will never be reborn in the full woeful state. In other words, you will escape from the suffering, okay, that give rise in the full woeful state. So just these two. And the third level or the highest level which produce the highest form of kusala, wholesomeness. It's called refined heedfulness. And the refined heedfulness we have already touched, the way Buddhists taught. If one is able to observe, okay, which means you are in a state of meditation now, if you are able to observe these every present moment, all the objects, whether physical or mental, whatever is arising at the present moment, okay, without fail, with no break, with no gap, seamless. If one can observe in that way, then one has established the refined form of heedfulness. And if there's a lot of break, a lot of gap, and you don't pay any seriousness or any respect to this practice, okay, that is, you are heedless. So that is the highest level. Basically, simple, you practice seriously, respectfully, seamlessly, without any gap, and not taking any break in your retreat or meditation, you have established the refined form of heedfulness. But as we all know, the Buddhists taught us in many different ways the same thing, but from different approaches, so that different people can understand, so that there is no way, no loopholes. Buddha taught in many ways. And in here to this refined form of heedfulness, the Buddha taught us in it from the different approach. Just simple Pali word is called Adina Vukti Pamado. So What is Orina Vuktipamado? What does it mean? See, all. The word all means inferior, substandard, superficial. Okay. Vulgar. That's the meaning of all. And Vukti means one is slacking. Okay. One is slacking, superficial, not given full attention, okay, callous. That is the meaning of Vukti. So Ordina Vukti. So if one is meditating, if one is practicing this Vipassana, whether it is the mixed Vipassana, Samatha Vipassana, or the pure Vipassana, which is Satipatthana Vipassana, anyone, whichever way one is approaching. If one is practicing, in the practice, is slacking, superficial, not giving attention, if that's the case, that person is being heedless. So in here is these kind of, what is this inferior kind of heedfulness and superior kind of heedfulness and heedlessness? As an example, one is practicing. You are not observing deeply, penetratively, you're observing superficially. You're always, of course, you know, whatever is arising, you know. But your knowing has no depth in it. Your knowing is not all-rounded, not thorough. That's what being superficial. And also slacking away. Slacking away is it comes in many different forms. Let's say one is practicing. Okay, of course I'm practicing very seriously. And then suddenly what happened was some yogis, they found it, I'm really trying hard, but this place is too noisy. Okay, too noisy. I can't really concentrate. This is not a suitable place. One that way. Another one is in this retreat, okay, the food is really bad, or it is too salty, or too bland, too spicy, this and that. Oh, it is not nutritious. They make these kind of excuses. Another one is maybe, oh, the teacher doesn't give us much attention. He's not really putting effort there. He doesn't know what he's teaching. That kind of attitude. In other words, one way or the other, you are finding excuses. It might be your environment, it might be your food, it might be the facility, it might be the teacher, and so on and so on and so on. You can imagine. And some people just keep on saying, and I can't practice, I am not progressing, okay, I'm really working hard. Because of this condition, I can't. Basically, those are the yogis who try to find excuses for their own inept nature. And that is how they slack, but they don't want to say, I'm slacking away or he's slacking away. I'm in this stage, I'm not progressing because of this condition, that person, and so on. Living with excuses. And that is, we call it slacking. Oh. Or another way is, you're meditating here. Not the condition, not the environment, all these things. You just look at it, okay? In a big meditation center, there are 50, hundreds of yogis all practicing, meditating together. And then they just know. After within a week or two, the teachers also knows who is working really hard and who is not working hard. And also, some yogis, especially the people who are not really practicing, you are not putting effort. What it is when you are practicing, one of the attitude you must take is, I am alone in the universe. Even though you might be in the middle of 200 people, you have to have an attitude that you are alone. There's nothing around you. Okay? Because if you're observing, it is all observing inward about your physicality and mentality. There's nothing from outside. And if you can truly observe the physicality and mentality in your body, in your mind, then believe me, you are alone in the universe. You are not aware of anything at all. That's the way one supposed to be. But some yogis know, and of course they already know, these are the people who doesn't work hard, slack off, doesn't put energy. These are the kind of yogis. And in a crowd, they know which group or which yogis are really working hard and who are not. And what you do was, these yogis, they just drifted and shifted and drifted and shifted to the group who is not working hard. Okay. And the purpose is, when you are in the middle of a group of working very hard, you do not stand out. If you are really slacking and not working hard, in the middle of hard-working yogis, you become like a sore thumb. That is how they drifted and shifted. You try to put yourself in an environment where you are slacking, you are not working hard enough, does not stood out. That is the way. And that is what it means by inferior or substandard. It is so interesting how the minds work. In yours, you don't purposely think that way, but that's how you fall in line. That is ordinavuti, pamado, heedless, inferior nature. And in here, all these things are why? Because you are not putting much effort. That is the main reason. You are not putting much effort. You do not want to put much effort. Because this practice, we always say, it requires ardent effort. Okay, ardent effort. So let's put it in a different way. In this world, we do all sort of things. Everybody does many different things, many different jobs, many different causes they go for it. And we put great effort to be successful. We put great effort. And consider all the efforts that you put. Okay? The high quality, great effort one. And the effort that you need to put in this practice is, it must be even higher than that. That kind of effort is needed if you want to succeed. Okay. If you want to reach a state where there is all sufferings have been eliminated or uprooted. Because this is not a small goal, small objective. We have been in a countless number of lives, birth and death and birth and death, and we have been suffering and suffering and suffering. And here we want to eliminate that suffering. So it is not a small job. It is the priceless. Okay? The objective is priceless. And to get that kind of an object, one must put great effort. Effort to the point that you have never applied before. That kind of effort is necessary if you want to truly experience the success. So what happened was, of course, if you are going to a 1 month retreat or 2 month retreat, 3 months or 6 months, whatever you have set your mind on, you already have that, you want to do. Because of the desire, you come in, okay, I can do it, you practice, and you go in 1 day, 1 week, few weeks, and there's no progress. As soon as you have no progress, what happened was these inferior kind of mental state arises. Okay, you shifted into this, or you blame this, you blame the environment, you blame the person, you blame the yogis, you blame the co-meditator, that kind of inferior things. Because you don't want to totally admit that you are not doing it, so you start finding excuses and blame. This is the natural, it will just fall into it. Okay? Fall into it. Don't think you are special. But if you know these things ahead, okay, if you know these facts ahead, you can always pull yourself up. This effort is very important. Okay, as an example, let's look at it this way. Okay. A person is on a canoe paddling. Okay, when you're in a canoe paddling, if you are paddling downstream, it's along with the current. As it is along with the current, you just easily flow, go in. That is, still, of course, you have to pay some effort. That is one level of effort so that you can direct yourself properly so that you won't be embarked upon or tip over or fell down. Could you kindly take care of the telephone? Please don't forget to turn off all your electronic gadgets when you are in meditation. Where were we? You're paddling downstream. You need some effort, you put effort, but you go there. But let's assume that now you are paddling upstream against the current. When you're paddling against the current, you have to really put effort. You have to put your stroke one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Because if you take one little stroke or two little strokes because I'm tired or my shoulder is in pain and so on and so forth, automatically you will flow back into the stream and you lost what you have already gained. So there must be constantly paddling, paddling, paddling so that you can go upstream and get to the destination. This meditation is like this because this flow of stream, it's just like kilesa. Kilesa, mental defilements, okay? Raga, okay, lust, loba, greed, okay? Dosa, anger, domanasa, mental pain, the dukkha, domanasa, lamentation, grief, despair, all these things. They are always constantly flowing ignorance. That is a stream, the mental stream of kilesa. And we are in the midst of kilesa all the time. All the time. And there's two ways you can do. One way is you just flow down that stream of kilesa. If you flow down that stream of kilesa, what happened? You are still going around and you just even have to face whatever it is. And you will get the destination where the kilesa takes you. But one thing is, another one is, you go against the kilesa. Kilesa is like the stream, always flowing. So, kilesa is constantly flowing, and this paddling upstream is the effort that you are applying in your observation. Just like the paddling, if you do not observe, okay, strongly, consistently, constantly, you will flow into the stream of that kilesa. But if you paddle and paddle and paddle, every stroke counts. And only that way you can reach the states where these kilesa stop. Because kilesa is always constantly attacking and you are in the midst of that stream. So if you see that analogy, you see how important it is for us to observe. And to be able to observe in such a way, you need that effort. Effort is that paddling, 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 paddling upstream. Only then one can say, okay, it's called anodina bhakti. Anodina bhakti is not inferior, superior kind of heedfulness will be established. That's the way Buddha has taught us in that way. Inferior or vulgar or slacking. If you observe that way, that is called heedless. And the opposite is you are heedful, one approach. And another approach the Buddha taught us, in Pali it sounds like this. Nikita sandatta pamado. Nikita sandatta pamado. And this one is related to, you already know the word sanda or chanda. Chanda is a desire. Okay. One, okay, if one's want to reach the goal, reach the objective, one must have a great desire. And if you have a great desire, then of course, automatically anything, those are the cause and effect, anything will follow. So here, the Buddha emphasized on the word chanda, desire or noble desire. And if you truly want to reach your goal and reach the objective that you set, you must have the great desire for it. And if you have the great desire for it, all the things that comes along with it through the change of cause and effect, okay, everything will apply. And that is called heedful. And if you do have a mediocre desire, then what happened is that is called heedless. So the Buddha emphasized on the word chanda. So, and chanda for what? Chanda to reach the goal, to get the objective. So in here too, this chanda, of course we all started, we have a great desire, we want to practice this, and we experience a certain degree or a certain level of result. We have a little peace and calm. Everything makes sense logically, analytically, in a reflective mind. So suddenly that really produces and push you to have this great desire. So as soon as you have that great desire, that means you have a great confidence. Only when you have the confidence, the desire arises. If you don't have the confidence, desire doesn't arise. What is confidence? Confidence in saddha. When you have saddha, when you have confidence, suddenly the great desire arises. And as soon as you have the great desire, what do? You start putting effort. You start doing effort on the cause or on the object that you want to obtain. You start doing things. This putting effort you apply, and again too, this is not something that you do it within 1 or 2 hours or 1 day or 2 days. It just doesn't come, the result come that way. Sometimes weeks, sometimes months. It still seems like you don't have any result. And as soon as you begin to feel that you don't have any result, that is where you have some disappointment. And when you have disappointment, automatically that desire starting to reduce. The desire become lessen and lessen. As soon as the desire lessen, what happened? Along with it, you don't put effort, you slack off. Okay? Just waiting for the hour to be over, just waiting for the day to be over, just waiting for that 2 weeks or 1 month retreat to be over. When is it going to over? When is it going to finish? All that you are waiting is for the moment to be over. Why? Your chanda desires wanes, weakens. Why? Because you don't see any result. That is how the chanda can push you and chanda can pull back. It's directly proportionate and related to the success, the desire. But one thing is one need to know, this chanda. If you have great desire, what happens is you automatically, effort comes in, you put. When the effort comes in, your observation is very good. When the observation says, well, what is this effort or observation actually doing? What you're doing is you are actually, the object arises, you are always ready for that object that is coming up at the present moment. You are right there with the object. And then, of course, the object just stay for a mini moment and gone. But you are ready for the next object, ready now for the next object. In other words, you are always applying effort. Okay? You are applying effort. Or you are applying effort ready for the object that is arising at the moment. And we all know, what is it called in Pali? It's called vitakka, applied thoughts. Direct translation is applied thoughts. Applied thought is normally also this vitakka is a say applied thoughts or thoughts. You're thinking, especially you are trying to sleep. You can't sleep for about half an hour, but night passed. Thinking. All these thinking is also called vitta. What it is, you are in this flow of thoughts. But one thing was, that is the normal flow of thoughts. It's the same thing, but it is flowing in the stream of this kilesa. And here is, this vitta we are applying is in a meditative sense. In the mindful sense, in a heedful sense. And in the heedful sense is, instead of flowing into a stream of all these thoughts with greed, anger, and delusion, what happened was you are always applying that thought. What is that thought? This is the conscious thought, aware thought, with full awareness on what? Not into the kilesa, but into the object that is arising at the present moment. That's what you do. And, of course, once you are aware of that thought or aware of the object, physical or mental, whether it is a thought itself, discursive thought itself, or an emotion, but instantly you know and you are aware till it disappears. That's staying along with together, okay, from the beginning to the end, is called visara. Visara. Visara means, it's translated in many different ways. In a practical, operational way, is called sticking with or staying with the object from the beginning to the end, or rubbing the object. Some teachers explain as rubbing the object. Rubbing the object is, as long as you are rubbing the object, you are in contact with the object. But when the object disappears, there's nothing to rub. That is where the rubbing ends. So this vichara, rubbing, okay, these two is vitakka and vichara, apply thoughts and sustain thoughts. English translated, literature-wise, apply thoughts and sustain thought. In the operation sense, I already explained it. If you have these two mental states, keeping the mind not flowing into the stream of kilesa, not flowing into the patterns of thoughts, discursive thoughts, storylines, and being with the object that is arising at the present moment, then at that moment you have a full awareness of the object as they really are, not the way you would like to be or you want to be or you hate. Nothing, it is precisely as it is with its own nature. And these two, if you are operating as being described, then that is called vipassana jhana. Okay, vipassana is insight. Jhana is translated as absorption. You are absorbed into the object on a vipassana level. So this absorption is two kinds for those of you who are not familiar with. One is in a vipassana, when you are absorbed or when you are stick with the object, you have full awareness of the object, you have understanding of the object, you know it all around it, thoroughly and completely. In other words, you have a keen sense of awareness of every facet of the object. That is vipassana jhana, okay? Absorption and an insight approach. There's also samatha jhana. Samatha is a concentration meditation. Jhana is the same thing. You are absorbed into the object. But in a concentration, that awareness of the object is not filled with understanding or investigation or knowing. It totally absorbs into the object and you become one with the object. So you have no chance to know or to understand that object. That is called samatha jhana. And here we are applying for the vipassana jhana, which is insight, okay, absorption. If you reach that state, okay, it's called vipassana jhana, and the mind, the consciousness, the state is called jhanic consciousness, vipassana jhanic consciousness. The mind that knows in that way is called vipassana jhana consciousness. There's a consciousness of all different types. There are in general 89 types. One of the type is this jhanic consciousness, but in a vipassana insight level. That is how one is applying, and that's what happen. And in here, we are talking the word chanda, chanda chaita. Okay? Chanda chaita, and in that chanda, or desire, noble desire, what are you doing? You are observing, you are observing, you are observing, you are applying, and you are sustaining these efforts. Just simply with that noble desire. And when you're observing again and again and again, what happened was, slow and slowly, the mind becomes cool and calm. That's number one. Cool and calm to a state of where? No kilesa, okay? You cannot feel or sense the any vibration of kilesa, any vibrations of loba, or in other words, greed, or lust, or anger, or dissatisfaction. At the same time, you are fully aware of the object. That is a state. When a mind is in a state where you cannot sense any vibration of kilesa or mental defilements, that kind of consciousness is called chanda citta. They give the name chanda citta. Chanda citta is simply from this noble desire, you put great effort and you reach to a state where there is all sense, any level of vibration of kilesa is totally eliminated. You can't sense it. All that you can sense is the calmness and coolness and full awareness of the object. And that consciousness is called chanda citta. The other one is absorption. Jhana citta, jhanic mind, jhana, absorption mind, but in a vipassana level. And in here, these one you are applying, okay? Every object, one object after the other, one object after the other. From object to object, that is, there's no gap. This object, next object, next object, next object, there is no gap. In other words, there is no discursive thoughts. No thoughts that arises with anger or hatred or lust or greed. It's not there. You are constantly observing all the time, every time, all the time, the same states of mind on both physical and mental objects. And what you are doing, repeatedly, repeatedly. As you are doing repeatedly, what happens is one object comes, one object goes, one object comes, one object goes. That means your effort is there, your aim is precise. And as you can watch from the beginning to the end, in other words, your sustaining power is strong. Your applying power is strong, sustaining power is strong. What are you doing? You are repeatedly observing, observing, observing. Repeat, 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 repeat. And what is that word repeat in Pali? Bhavana. We use the word bhavana. Because of that, that state of mind is also called bhavana citta, consciousness of mental development. That kind of citta is called jhanic citta, consciousness of absorption with insight. That citta is called chanda citta, consciousness of noble desire. See, you will see and you will hear all these different words. We are the same. Chanda citta, jhana citta, bhavana citta. Consciousness of noble desire, consciousness of absorption, and consciousness of mental development. Buddha's approaches and show you in many different ways. One from the direction of desire, one from the desire of absorption, one from the direction of repeated application, bhavana. mental development. So that kind of chanda, okay, that kind of chanda arises. When that kind of chanda arises, and that is the mental state you will receive. When you have that kind of a mental state, at that moment, there is no kilesa. The key characteristic of chanda cheta is there is no vibration created by the mental defilements in that state. That's the reason you have a calmness, and that's the reason you have the stillness and peace. So you have that repeatedly again and again. At that moment, you have that superior form, refined form of heedfulness. Okay, so I'm giving you the whole stretch, how it could be. But of course, in reality, when we practice, we don't experience that way directly, depending on the level of the effort, depending on the mental state of the yogi. So what happens is, sometime you practice and you practice. One day, 1 week, you've gone into a month, 2 months into the retreat. Seems like nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Okay? And when there's nothing is happening, then you can get disappointed and your desire can drop. And if that kind of a situation comes in, think about this little analogy. Okay, there's a lumberjack. Not modern day lumberjack, about 100, 200 years ago. What they have is a big axe. Okay, that's totally constructed with the size and weight and what is perfect. And you just keep it like the pressure thing, always sharpening, and right? So with that axe, his whole life, since he was a teenager, his father was a lumberjack, he became a lumberjack, he has his own axe, and he chop and he chop and chop, one tree after the others. That's what his job is, he's doing it. Brand new axe, okay? His father gave it to him, bought to him at the age of 16. He was so delighted to have it. And he chop and from 16, he go to 30, go to 40, go to 50 years old. Now that little boy is now over 50, between and 56. And at that moment, go and look at that X, the handle of the X where you hold your hand and chop. That handle is not like a smooth, properly curved, and construct it like before. You will see the print of the finger, the way it is whole. There is a groove in that handle. In fact, if he put his hand on, automatically those little grooves are as if curved for him. But it wasn't curved. It is the thing that you hold all the time and you chop for about 30, 40, 50 years using the same axe, and eventually there is a groove of your fingers has been created or arises on that handle, because it's that process of repetition that is making it. You don't know in 1 year, you don't know in 10 years, but in about 30, 40 years, there is that axis. Even somebody come and hold it, they won't feel it comfortable. But when you hold it, automatically your fingers drop like a hand and glove. In other words, every day it is rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing, and that is the kind of situation it arises. In the same manner, now we are practicing rising and falling and lifting and pushing and thoughts and emotions and concentration and mindfulness and hearing, seeing repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years. let's say you don't have any experience, what we can call it, special experience of insight. You think you are not growing. You are not progressing in your Dharma. Or in a retreat, 2-3 months, nothing growing. Think this story. Because every observation, it is making a difference in you. In each observation, when you are doing it with precision, it is making an imprint. It is making an imprint. It is making an imprint. You are changing, you are changing, you are changing, you are growing. Just like the axe, you won't know in 10 years, but after about 40, 50 years, you know there's your handprint on that axe because you are the only one who uses it. Just the same nature. You're observing, observing, observing. You think you are not growing anything. You think you are not having any insight. You think you have wasted your time. But actually, it is growing and improving and growing and improving in your mind impression. You are not even aware of it. But that gradual process is so strong, it is changing. Just like that X handle analogy. How? There's another way of figuring out whether you are growing or not. Not from these great insights and blinding insights, flashing and coming and I'm grabbing a satori or so on and so on and so on. Nothing like that. But I always tell here, people who have been here for some time knows. You practice today. Analyze yourself. Reflect upon yourself. Write a diary. Note it down. How you are, what you are, what your personality is, how you relate to the world and how you relate to yourself. Write it down. 6 months later, do the same thing again. A year later, do the same thing again. After about 10 years, go and compare all the notes that you put every 6 months about yourself, about your personality, about your interrelationship with your environment, with others. Compare those things. You will see the drastic difference how you have changed. But you have to keep a record of it to be able to see it. Just like the X handle is a record, your own record, your document, every 6 months that you put in about yourself, how you relate to yourself and how you relate to the world changes, you will see that difference. And that difference is for the better and for the better and for the better towards the kusala, wholesomeness. Okay. You might not have the blinding insight, you might have the great satori, but you will see that difference. That is the best measurement. Just like that, your personality is changing and changing. You think you have progressed nothing in your practice, but you are progressing in your own personality. You don't have to change. You don't need to force to change. It simply changed because of that repeated observation, bhavana. That's how it changed. And again, of course, this is one way of expressing to understand. The other way was all the way through. Let's go to the middle of the way. How do you change? How do you change is you observe. Especially this word, chanda citta, okay, consciousness of noble desire. If you can develop that consciousness of noble desire in every observation, what is happening? What is happening is the mind become cool and calm. The mind become less and less attacked by the mental defilements. They still attack, but become less and less and less. And when you become like that, and here we are not talking about the final objective, Nibbana, final objective. the end of all physical and mental suffering. We are not talking about that. That's far away, a zillion light years away. But here you are practicing, and if you can practice and if you can develop that Chanda Chitta, consciousness of noble desire, to get that final objective. Along the way, they call it a special unique experience, or a special dish that you like. You like a chicken curry, that's your special dish. Or somebody might like a salad. Okay, salad dressed up in a certain way. In other words, each of us have a special little dish that we like. We can call it special dish for oneself. What happened was, you will come to experience something that is unique and special for you. Not everyday experience, not every experience in your life that you had, for all the success and for all the fame, all the fortune you have bring, and you have all these great experience and great happiness. Okay, but in here you will have a unique experience, and this experience will also give you a great happiness and peace. But this great happiness and peace is superior to any happiness and peace you have experienced in your life before, from your normal day success of fame, fortune. Superior to all of them. Superior to any sense pleasure. Pleasure through your eyes or the nose or the ears or the tongue or the body. Any pleasure through the senses. Any pleasure that you can gain from your fame and fortune. This, you can call it pleasure. This unique pleasure you experience something is superior to any of the pleasure you have ever experienced. Okay, I won't go into detail, but something in your meditation, you experience that happiness and pleasure. Why? Because you have developed a constant or relatively extended period, 15, 20, 30 minutes of this Chanda Chitta. Chanda Chitta is consciousness of the noble desire. In other words, simply a consciousness. In that consciousness, noble desire is the most prominent mental factor. That's what it means by Chanda Chitta. When you have that, you will experience something like that, and you will have a happiness or peace or pleasure that is superior to all sense pleasure, superior to all kind of pleasure you have experienced before. That is due to Chanda Chitta. And when you reach that, you become so empowered, so encouraged, you don't even look back anymore. The only thing is, after that you go forward, never backward. Forward, forward, forward to developing this Chanda Chitta, consciousness or awareness of noble desire. You just go on. And if you want to talk it technically based on the insight level, that is where people call it Udayabhaya Jnana. Okay? Insights on the arising and passing away of mind and matter. That's your experience, if you want to go on a technical term. But in general, that's what it is. You experience something that you have never experienced before. It is so good, you only look forward, you don't backward anymore. You don't retreat, you don't abandon. And these people, that is the step into the doorway where your main objective, the road to the doorway of the main objectives where you can reach. That's Chanda Chitta. So may all of you be able to practice with a not in an inferior but superior states of mind, and try to develop this Chandacitta, consciousness of noble desire, and may you be able to experience this peace which is superior to all five senses at a stage, the first stage of the level, as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much.